untapped talent on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to it. It's a Friday, unlike any other, because you're listening to me, of course, he says ever so modestly. Welcome to it. This is Untapped Talents with myself, Siya Sangweni Finn, right here on cliffcentral.com. Thank you so much for having me on. For the next hour, as we do week after week, I'll be giving a platform to young, incredible people who are making waves in their own fields and industries, and it's always cool just to get to know more about these people and what they're up to and what drives them exactly. So this week is really no exception. I'll be chatting to a comedian. I actually happened to see one of his shows over this past weekend. I was like, what do cool people do over weekends? Because I'm clearly not cool and I'm trying to be cool. So I headed to Maboneng in Joburg, which is this nice laid-back artsy vibe, and was actually a event done by the Goliaths, you know, who are renowned comedians in their own right. So now they're giving a platform to youngsters as well. So he goes by the name of Mojack Lehoko, who, by the way, just has a CV unlike any other. He's a comedian, he's a writer, he's an actor. He's, you know, as much as he's in front of the mic or in front of the camera, he spends equally as much time behind the scenes as well, because he's written for shows such as Late Night News with Loyi Sokola. He's also produced works for The Real Josie A-Listers, which is on Vuzu Amp. He's also worked on Ikasi Stories on ETV and the SABC as well. But he's also produced his own one-man show. It's titled How Did I Get Here? So Mojack will definitely be an interesting guy to get to know more about. And then a little later on in the show, I'm talking to Lufuno. She's a stylist. I like her AKA because simply at Lufuno Love. Not only is she a BCom marketing graduate, but she's very street smart. She calls herself an artist by nature and a clothing enthusiast. So it's a nice person to also get to know of in the industry as well. What is she up to? What drives her? And what sort of opportunities lie ahead for someone who's interested in the likes? But kicking it off, first things first, I think this is very interesting. I do not count myself a sporting enthusiast by any measure, but I think I'm trying my best here. I think it's only normal, it's only natural to be fascinated by different things. And so currently right now, I heard about the ICC World Cup that is happening of cricket, which is in India right now. But more than that, there's actually an under-19s league that's happening. And South Africa has a team that's representing us, representing us well, might I add. And so I just thought, let's actually talk to these people. What are they up to? How's the vibe like? So I'll be talking to the captain of the under-19 South Africa national cricket team in just a bit. His name is Tony. So let's get straight into it. This is Untapped Talents with myself, Siya Sangweni Finn.
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.
Okay, so I'm not going to take anything away from the guy. I think he's awesome. I've read up a lot about him, but just the mere fact that he has a cool name has already put him in the great leagues. Good morning, Mr. Tony. How are you?
Hi, sir. I'm right. Thanks yourself.
Fantastic. So I want you to give me the correct pronunciation of your surname. Is it D'Zorzi?
Yeah, D'Zorzi, yeah.
Oh, damn it. So there's no like Italian accent or something?
No, it's Italian, but there's no need for an accent.
Ah, damn it. That just takes the fun out of everything. Tony, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. So you're live from Bangladesh. I know you guys are 3 hours ahead, so that's around midday, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you're there for the World Cup. Explain the atmosphere. What is it like? You know, you were at school a couple of years ago. You know, you grew up being very interested in cricket. And here you are now living out your dreams and on a world stage at the World Cup. How's that like for you?
It's obviously very exciting to be representing your country at a World Cup. And I think the boys have been handling that occasion very well. And like you said, we're trying to represent our country with some valor and some prestige. And I think we did that when we played our TV game, the opening game as well.
Uh-huh. So as the captain of the team, and you, I've heard you're a fantastic batsman as well and a good spin bowler. How much pressure actually lies on your shoulders in your role?
Yeah, there is a bit of pressure being the captain. But I think just for me, just being able to release some of that pressure, putting it on the other guys, and being able to just play my natural game takes a little bit of pressure off of me. And I think just enjoying the game allows me to also release some of that pressure.
So was this past Wednesday South Africa's first match in the World Cup thus far?
Yeah, that was our first game against Bangladesh.
So that was against Bangladesh. We unfortunately lost, but we are playing this Sunday versus Namibia. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
So how's the atmosphere? How are you guys feeling about that? Are you excited? Are you ready to take them on?
Yeah, guys are very excited. I think we've put that game, the first game, behind us. We've learned what we need to learn from that and discuss what needs to be discussed. And I think the boys are definitely amped to go out there and give it their all.
And how's it looking now? Because I do know that South Africa are the World Cup defending champions. I just my whole thing as I'm thinking about you guys, not to put added pressure on you, but it's like you cannot control it, and you're going out there, you're literally leaving your heart on the field when you try your best out there. And now there's also this added pressure of being the defending champions. But is does that do you actually feel the pressure as you're playing, or does that serve as motivation to actually go out there and make sure that you prove yourself in the best way?
Yeah, there is obviously some added pressure, but I think if anything, like you said, it serves as some added motivation for us. But I think we've discussed that, and we just have to go one game at a time and not look too far ahead or anything like that.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a quick update on how things are going live there in Bangladesh. But for you personally and for the team as well, what lies ahead for you guys in the next couple of months?
I think after the World Cup, a lot of the guys will be going into university, making use of Varsity Cup cricket and that kind of stuff. And I think some of the guys are still in school, so they'll continue with their schooling careers. And I think after that, we've just fallen to the South African cricket system, and we've just got to give it our best. So, yeah.
And actually, in between all of this, are you actually getting some downtime, or is it just like very head in the game, all focused? Are you at least getting, I don't know, to go out there and see some Indian rivers and to eat some curries? Are you actually getting to relax?
We do have some downtime. Unfortunately, with some of the security things that have been raised, we aren't able to just walk around in the streets and that kind of stuff.
Oh,
But I
wow.
think it gives us time to spend a lot of time together with the team, playing table tennis or whatever, just
Yeah.
chilling, and I think we will try to use that to our advantage.
Well, talking about the likes of table tennis, I heard you're also a talented rugby player as well. When did you make the switch, or when did you actually decide that you'll rather pursue cricket over rugby, and why did you actually decide that?
I decided at the in the middle of last year during the rugby season after I
Yeah.
got injured. I'm 18, but my knees are about 45, so I had to stop.
That's the quote of the day. I'm 18, but my knees are about 45.
And I just when I spoke to my mom about it, she just said to me, "I've got to choose the sport which I think I can make an impact in other people's lives, and I think I can do that a bit better in cricket." So that's why.
Got it. Well, Tony, thank you so much for stopping by this morning. More than that, also good luck to you and Team South Africa this Sunday live in Bangladesh. So, just in closing, right? Cricket has one C, Cliff Central has two C's. I know you guys can't exactly explore India right now for safety reasons. So I think, while you're in the hotel room, can you guys figure out a way to weave in Cliff Central somewhere? Like maybe would you put like Cliff Central on your t-shirts? Then when you like bowl them out, you'll lift your t-shirts up and we see Cliff Central on a vest underneath. Like you see, do you get my drift? Will we get like a little Cliff
I see
Central
what you're
something?
saying.
Yeah.
It's going along the lines of us getting banned, so I'm not too sure.
Okay, yeah, just you know what, Tony, I'll leave this in your head. Just be
We'll just lift the
creative.
seat to the cameras or something like that, and you'll know.
Exactly. Okay, so can I do I have your word on that?
Yeah, I'll try to get that point across.
Tony, thank you so much, and all the
Thank you for
best.
having me.
Hey, cheers, cheers.
Thank you.
So that was the captain of Team South Africa under 19. He's live in India right now, and I just feel as great as it is, you're a young person going out there to pursue your dreams. I just cannot help but think of the immense pressure he's feeling right now as he's about to, they lost the game on Wednesday, but we're behind our team. So kudos on them and all the best for this Sunday. So that's what Untapped Talent is all about, chatting to all these young people who are doing awesome things. And as we do every single week, there's a cover of the week segment, right? So there's a popular song. Go onto YouTube, see who's doing what, when, and how on the interweb. So this week, I have to say, I'm kind of biased on this because I'm very proudly South African and I'm not a sports guy, but there's something about the Super Bowl halftime show. I'm not interested in football and whether there's a quarterback and there's a line out in the. No, I think line out is rugby. Never mind. quarterback. That's all I know. But with the halftime show, it's known 50 years in this year, and it's always like massive, massive artist who gets, you know, about like 15 minutes between the halves to put on an awesome show. So they've had the likes of Madonna and Michael Jackson and Beyonce and Black Eyed Peas and Bruno Mars, you name it, they've done it. So this year, it's actually Coldplay who has a stage, and they'll be doing their set. It all goes down on the 8th of Feb, and so I'm trying to think like, 8th of Feb, it will be a Sunday that side, but then like I want to watch it live, so like will I watch it at 3? And I don't know if I'm that keen, but we'll see. I might be an overachiever on this. Nonetheless, I get sidetracked. Coldplay performing live at the Super Bowl halftime show this year. And so with that said, Coldplay has a new single out titled Adventure of a Lifetime. I'm not really a huge fan of the music video because it's just, I don't know, monkeys, animated monkeys dancing around. It's just like odd. But I do like the song. And so I went onto YouTube and I heard about, they go by the name of FM Reset, and they've done a cover of Coldplay's Adventure of a Lifetime. Let me know what you think about it. You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com or at @C_SF, or you can send us a message on WeChat. Just tap connect and message to show. Let's get chatting. This is Untapped Talent with myself, Sia Sangweni Finn.
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.
It's a cover of Coldplay's Adventure of a Lifetime done by FM Reset. Yeah, it's a good song, I'd have to say. I just feel bad because I feel like I'll lose some street cred. Firstly, as if CIA ever even had street cred. But it's one of those things, I'm just like, I like the song, it's a cool song, fine, I'll just pop along and dance to it. So, yeah, I was asking my guest about it, just for some advice, Nyana. Mr. Mojack, how are you doing?
I'm good on yourself.
Good. So, yeah, let's just dissect the song.
Yes.
How are we about it?
I don't know who that was. So you know when you hear a song on a TV ad for the first time, you're like, this is cool for 30 seconds, but any longer I'm not sure. It wasn't bad, it's a cool song. It's weird that someone did a cover of Coldplay.
Why do you think Coldplay are too cool to be
done? No, it's like it's so new, you know, like you know what I mean, if you did a cover of Pumagim by Casper, we were like, whoa, that just came out, dog. Give it a couple of decades and then let's go for it. But that was an interesting song. Who's the artist?
FM Reset.
So FM Reset.
Currently on YouTube, they have more than 237,000 views on this video alone.
Local group?
No, international. It was published in the 10th of November, just last year. So I think they've done pretty well for themselves.
It's not bad, 200,000, I can dig that.
Yeah, Cindy on WeChat says, what an awesome cover. So at least we have that kudos on her.
Thank you, Cindy.
Yeah, okay, she likes it. Good stamp of approval.
There we go.
Mojack, thank you so much for stopping by this morning.
It's a pleasure, thanks for having me.
The first things first is I don't even know how to introduce you.
Me?
Like, when you have a CV like this, can I just take some time?
Oh, wow. The CV's come out. This is always awkward.
Like, no, it's not awkward.
Like, this happens to me before a gig. They're like, this gentleman started out in 2000. And then you're like, oh, gosh, just bring me on. And they bring out all the random things. But let's hear what happens.
Let's just. Okay. So, some of your awards. You've been nominated in the newcomer category at the inaugural Comic Choice Awards back in 2011. You were nominated in the 2013 International Emmys for Late Night News with Roy Sokolo. You've worked on so many different things. You have, you know, in South Africa, you basically worked for every single channel.
Sort of, yeah.
You've worked for the SABC.
Yes.
You've worked for ETV.
Yes.
You've worked under MultiChoice.
Yes.
You've worked for basically all the channels.
Okay, I guess, yeah, all right.
That's it. You do voiceovers, you're an MC, you're a writer, you're an actor, you're a comedian.
Yes.
You're just someone who's on top of their craft.
I like getting in the mix, being involved. I like all elements of comedy. Yeah. The VO stuff's cool. You get to record for different clients. But yeah, I like comedy in all its different forms and shapes. Stand-up being my favoritest of them all. Yeah.
So basically for you, the base is still comedy and making people laugh.
Of course, it's stand-up. Stand-up got me all the opportunities that I have to this moment. So I'll never let it go. I'll never turn my back on it.
Yeah.
So everything I've ever done, like, I mean, I got a... It was like a Coca-Cola ad a few years ago, and that was like off stand-up. So stand-up is the basis of everything that I do.
Yeah.
So that's what I like to focus on and come back to all the time.
Do you still remember your first set?
I have a vague idea of it. I
think, is it just all a blur now?
Well, the first few like were so far apart, like because we open micers, but I remember it was Cool Runnings in Melville. late 2009. I remember writing my set. We used to run a pub at Vitz called the Backed Builders, Architects, Quantity Surveyors, and Town Planners.
Okay.
And my set was on a Sunday evening, and I was writing the set at like 4 p.m. in that bar, playing an album by The Alchemist, who was a music producer. It's just all these instrumentals he had,
yeah,
called Rapper's Best Friend, and sitting there and writing these jokes. And yeah, and I played that night. It was okay. They invited me back, and that's kind of where it went from there.
Just all rolled from there.
Yeah, I mean, it was really slow in the beginning, but yeah, that was kind of the beginning.
How would you describe your comedy? Because, you know, I've heard of some comedians who go like, no, they will never touch on race.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they don't, you know, Ellen DeGeneres says like, oh, you know, it's all peace, love, and happiness, and yeah, I don't diss anybody. So is there a style of comedy? Does someone choose like a field of, I don't know.
It's hard to say. I mean, you kind of, with any craft, you find your voice. Mm-hmm. So I talk a little about everything, like the most deaf thing came up.
Yes.
And I wrote this really silly joke. I was like, that's the end of his Yasin vacation. And then I'm like, you know, but then I'm like, you got a world visa, which yes, sounds really fake. You know, it sounds like the people who issue that every morning shout, with our powers combined, earth, wind, fire, water. We, you know, like, it sounds like you got it from Captain Planet. But, I mean, it's supposedly an official document. So, I like to write about what's going on. And that kind of comes from working on LNN. We'd get new stories every week and write about that, you know?
You see, but this is what struck me. I was sitting in, you know, I was watching you perform on Sunday night. And you had effortless humor, for lack of a better term. It was effortless.
Sure.
You touched on dyslexia.
Yes.
Not like nobody has ever described dyslexia the way, I won't even do it any justice by explaining
it's also a physical joke. I mean, yes, if people are ready, we're just like, what? We just hear a t-shirt ruffling. We don't know what's going on in studio. So yeah, I mean, it's a visual representation of dyslexia.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just find whatever's of interest to me. I remember flying to the UK in Virgin Atlantic, and I don't know what happened, but I got the last seat in the plane, by the toilets. So every time I try to nap, I just hear the flushing of the toilet. It was cold. I couldn't control the aircon. So it's like, it's cool, I'm going to London, but I'm also like, Virgin. Damn, I'm freezing for 10 hours. Someone please help me. So yeah, I like to talk about those experiences, you know?
And how do you find humor in things that, you know, the rest of the country's lamenting on? Oh, look at what, you know, our leaders are doing.
Sure.
Look at the interest rates. Look at you know, X, Y, and Z going and complaining. How do you take a turn on that?
I think for me, it's like, just we all have a different perspective, or sometimes it's just saying what everybody's kind of thinking. Mm-hmm. I do this one bit about the president, you know, I'm like, he's always fighting the media, you know, it's like he's playing crazy eights, but nobody explained the rules to him, you know. It's like, Mr. President, how do you explain the expenditure in Kantla? And he's like, five. And we're like, that a five doesn't do it.
You see
what I mean? So it's like, we all have kind of a similar perspective,
mm-hmm,
but it's trying to convey it in a way that everybody can grasp, you know? So I like to talk about politics and what's going on in my life and whatever I think is funny, really. If I think it's funny, I go for it. Sometimes the crowd is like, nah, son, but I'll keep doing it anyway
that must be one of the hardest moments as a comedian.
It is when you're starting out.
Die on stage.
I mean, that doesn't happen anymore. Because any profession is developing a certain level of consistency. When you start out, it's going to be all over the place. You know, like I like to use sport as an analogy. When you start playing basketball, maybe you make 2 out of 10 shots.
Yeah.
Eventually, you start making 4 out of 5 shots. Then it's 6 out of 10 shots. Then you know what's a good look, what's a bad, what's a difficult shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The better or the longer you do something, your percentages just get better, if that makes any sense.
It's practice makes perfect.
Exactly.
It might be a cliche, but it's very, very true.
It is true. There's no doubt about that.
I think it's a very interesting time to be a comedian in South Africa right now.
Sure, yeah.
I think things are moving in the best way possible. We have so many more platforms just opening up. But come to think of it, I think this was like a comedy week for me, because I went to the launch of Roast Cafe.
Yes, in Melrose Arch.
By the Goliath Brothers.
Sure.
You know, we have comedians going everywhere in the world,
sure,
you know, who are being taken seriously. And
yes.
Yeah, so how is it for you navigating in this industry when things are booming and literally opportunities are endless?
I'm so excited for the year ahead. I mean, like you say, the door's opening up so much. The Goliath guys have opened up Rose Cafe and they launch a comedy club, I think, end of March, early April. Tats and Gonzo was in Montreux a couple of years ago. He won a competition. He played Edinburgh last year. Loisa Madinga was there. Loisa Gola constantly tours between the London and US and all these cities, and Trevor's in New York, and David Kibuka's there. And I think the landscape of South African stand-up is changing so much because we now are thinking of ourselves as global acts.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's opened up so much. I mean, a lot of the guys I'm talking to now, like, yo, we have to go to New York. We have to go to London. We got to start getting onto these festivals, whether they're in Australia. And I think it's an exciting time. And I think every stand-up now should challenge themselves and go, we have to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? And so for me, I'm trying to get on the road a little bit more. I mean, okay, I can sometimes get cooped up in Joburg because this is kind of where the work is, you know, like if a TV show is being written, I want to be here, but I'm like, I do stand up, you know, that's first and foremost. Let me go out to Durban. Let me go out to Cape Town. Let me do Grahamstown. Let me go to London. Let me go to New York. And that's kind of my perspective now, is to be on the road, is to tour all over the place and take our stand up to the world. You know, we import so much, we consume so much of the world, but they're also hungry to see what we're about, you know.
And there's nothing like us.
Yeah.
There's nothing like true, authentic South African material.
Yeah, and I say to people, we were in Edinburgh about 3 years ago. I just went on holiday, but Loisa Gola was there and Dave Levinson. And when I was there, I realized that in terms of quality, we're up there, if not better than, I think, 60% to 70% of what's in the UK and in America. You know, like the guys here, because we don't have a lot, we have to learn how to kind of squeeze the most out of it, if that makes sense, because there's so few platforms. And I think, damn, I think a lot of the acts in South Africa are ready to take it worldwide.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really an awesome position to be in.
For sure.
So when you, let's go back to Mojack.
Like, yes.
Got out to 19 something something.
Yes.
As a young kid.
You make me sound like I'm old as hell.
1990 something. Yeah, just take away 20 years from this.
Okay.
Who were you looking up to in the comedy world and who inspired you back then?
You know what I was thinking about recently? I never kind of thought I'd be a stand-up.
Yo, what did you see yourself doing?
I was thinking about this the other day. When I was like 10, 11 years old, I wanted to be a technologist, right?
Okay. Is that a thing?
Like,
what
I remember,
does a technologist
do? I don't remember anymore, but when I was 10, I was like, this is the thing. But then I also...
I just want to Google what a technologist
does. It's an actual thing. And then, but my heroes were weird. It was like, not weird, but I always liked Pharrell Williams and like David Beckham. They were like these style icons and these really successful people in their respective things. And like Russell Simmons and Diddy, who are these like moguls and these business people. And I kind of stumbled onto stand-up. I remember going to watch at the Underground in Cool Runnings these years ago. And I think I maybe watched John Flismas. And I was like, man, what is this guy doing? He was making these things up on the spot. And then I'd go back and I saw Loisa Gola. Like the first, I think, local stand-up DVD was Gola for President that I watched. And I was just blown away by this idea of someone just standing in front of the crowd and making these jokes and everybody having a good time. And the bug bit me. My friend in Paw Pops, who I've known since the second grade. So I've known Pops for about 21 years now. Him and I were in the same class.
Wow.
And he had just done So You Think You're Funny with David Gao, and I'd met him.
The show.
So him and Chris Mabane were in this world, and we'd drive to gigs. We'd go to Woodbank. We'd go to Botswana for a weekend.
Yeah.
And I still had an office job, and it was so weird. Like, I was making the same amount of money I was doing when doing stand-up as I was at this office job.
Now, that would be my cue. Like,
it was such a nightmare to work from like 8 to 8 at a quantity surveying company.
So you were in that
field. I was a student quantity surveyor. I'm actually finishing my degree now. I have one more subject.
Brother, that's like a slow clap.
I've been doing it forever. It's been like 10 years on and off of studying. So I have this one civil engineering theory subject to do, and I have a BSc in quantity surveying. I've kind of lived in these multiple worlds, and I've really enjoyed every experience because that's what's brought me to this point, is kind of taking a piece of all of those things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing. I heard like a lot of, not to take anything away from comedians, not saying you guys are like dumb people, but surprisingly, you know, a lot of comedians have like these degrees in the most odd or unconventional things, as we would assume. You're just like this happy-go-lucky,
sure,
see where the wind blows me. But you guys, it takes a lot of intellectual, I don't know, you really have to be smart to be a comedian.
I would like to think that particularly the top crop of stand-ups are generally incredibly intelligent. I mean, Riyad Musa is a doctor.
Yes. His family have their own hospital in the Western Cape?
I'm not sure about that. We'll Google just to check before Dr. Moore on blast.
Or medical building.
They must have some involvement. Stuart Taylor's got a degree in zoology. Conrad Koch has a master's in anthropology.
Yes.
Kibuka's got a BCom.
Like, people are on boards of companies. I was like, what am I doing
with
my life?
It's crazy. I mean, and even the guys who don't have any kind of formal qualifications, I think, are still incredibly sharp, incredibly savvy, aware of what's going on in the world. So even though they may not have those degrees or whatever, it's very, very sharp guys.
Yeah. Shucks. Yeah, I think you guys are awesome, really, for lack of a better term. With taking yourself out of the equation,
yes.
If you had to pick like three comedians
yes.
who are just going to blow up this year, just going to have an awesome, awesome year,
yes.
Who would you list?
I'm going to go with Skumba,
uh-huh.
the Big Bang Ahlophe,
uh-huh.
doing huge things. So funny, incredibly talented. Who else? I've been watching Loiso Matinga a bit recently. I think he's also like, I think he's got next.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else. I mean, there's other new guys, a little newer, Mo Mateba that I really like, a really funny dude. There's a lot of guys. I mean, there's more acting stand-up now than there's ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we like the second gen, but even then there weren't that many of us. And now it's like this huge influx. But it's great because it makes the industry better because like everyone's like, trying to be the best they can be.
Yes, and it's healthy competition.
Yeah, exactly. And you're looking around going, oh man, I got to step it up. You know, we're not actively competing, but nobody wants to get left behind, and that kind of pushes people.
But what I like with that as well,
and
correct me if I'm wrong,
sure.
maybe I'm just assuming incorrectly, but there's great support in the comedy world. I don't see this hierarchy of like, I have my own stand-up DVD, can't
sure.
talk to you.
Yeah.
But I saw during the gig on Sunday as well, you would stay, even after your set, you'd stay and you'd watch others.
Yeah.
You'd be one of the, you know, everybody else is just laughing
sure.
at the fellow comedians on stage. It's the support more than just this bitchy.
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly though, I don't watch any acts.
Why?
Because it tends to influence what I'm gonna do.
Okay.
So like, what I found was that someone would talk about, let's say, Jacob, and then I'm go, oh, damn it, someone's spoken about Jacob, or someone would touch on a subject matter that I had. Also, there's like a certain edge of watching someone that because you're constantly thinking about what you're gonna do. So until I go on, I try to take myself away from that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we can talk football, we can talk twerking videos, we can talk about Kim Kardashian's what's but until I walk on, I kind of stay away. But I think there is a level of camaraderie. It depends. I mean, people kind of align themselves with who they thinks like them.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's like we're all happy clappy, like we kumbaya after a gig and we
eat, on about to build a campfire.
Yeah,
and
we eat Domino's pizza and talk about all our gigs. It's just people that we hang out with outside of stand up. If that makes sense.
Naturally gravitate.
Yeah, there's people like myself and Robbie Collins and Nazo Lokola have been hanging out for years. I dig their stand up, but also we love NERD, we love football, we love like similar music, similar type of things.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So I can't, you know, waste this opportunity. Having you in studio, you know, you're quite the intellectual, you know.
Okay.
Very, very smart.
That's
very
right.
funny.
That's right.
You know, you have your eye out on things that are happening.
Yes.
So I have to ask your opinion on current affairs.
Okay.
Only naturally.
Okay. This is going to get tricky, but go ahead.
I think, let me start off with someone who's relatively in your world, the comedy world.
Yes.
Bill Cosby. What do you think about him?
Oh, man. Like, you know, it's odd. I've never... Like, you know, people always talk about classic whatevers.
Yes.
Like, so people go, my favorite footballers, Pele and Maradona. Then I'm like, man, I didn't grow up around Pele and Maradona. I know Helmut Mkelele and Ronaldo from Brazil. Like, I know David Beckham.
And Dr. Kumalo.
Yes, and Atazwane. So Bill Cosby, one, is not from my era.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have that connection towards him and his stand-up.
Yeah.
But then when the thing happened, you know, and there were all these accusations, he was like, oh no, Bill. And he's so old. I mean, I don't know what's going on, whether it's true or not.
Yes.
Also, like, what's tricky is, I have this thing, like, whenever there's an issue of kind of like domestic violence, mm-hmm. often people will question the motive of the people who are pressing the charges. And I'm like, yo, man, that's not our responsibility to do that, because that makes their claim disingenuous.
Yeah.
But having said that, I also don't know what Bill Cosby did and didn't do. So I'm kind of on the fence, but so, you know, like, I don't have any interest either way, you know, but I mean, we have to respect Bill Cosby's right to prove himself innocent, but we also have to respect the claims of the
woman.
Yeah, it's a very tricky situation, you know? Yeah.
Mojack on the Kardashians.
I don't really have an opinion with the hot, that's it.
Okay, who's your favorite Kardashian? Sexiest.
It's Scott. No, I'm joking. I don't know. I don't know what their vibe is.
Yeah.
Very successful. The Kardashians are sharp, because people think they're morons, but like Kim just made $1 million off an app with emojis. So like people can say what they want to say about them, but they've sussed it out. They know what people consume. They know how to use and leverage celebrity culture. So we can all like sit here and snark at them.
Yes.
But
using Kim Kardashian emojis.
Yeah, she's going to a gig in a Rolls Royce Wraith. And
Mojack's favorite first lady, South African first lady.
I don't even know who they are. I don't even know.
Do you have?
First lady of what? Of house? Of hip hop soul? Then it's Mary J. Blige.
Of Makumalo. I think they landed in like Uganda or something.
Yes.
I was like, damn, Makumalo, you know, in your little three piece whatnot, coming out of the jet.
I don't even know where to start about first ladies. I used to care a lot about politics. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, I just had to stop reading the stories. It was all too much. Like, I just read Justice Malala's book.
Yeah.
And it...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's called We've Begun Our Descent.
Yes.
And it's a cool book, but it kind of repeats everything we've been saying for the last 3 years, the perspective of a certain degree of the South African populace, particularly the middle class. So, I mean, I've kind of taken myself a few steps back from politicians and try to look at the politics, the actual policies, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I could make fun of Jacob all day. I could do that. But I'm like, what are the policies of his organization and the opposition and all of that stuff?
Okay.
I feel like this got really deep for a 9:45 interview. People are like, whoa, talk about titties, bro.
Okay, last one.
Yes.
Bonang and AKA.
Saucy.
Ooh, that just hit you.
Also, AKA was in my class in grade 2.
Are you like, how are
I
you
swear
with
you.
All these people?
With myself, Pops, and Kiernan.
Kiernan
Forbes. By Columbia's government. Yeah, and Kiernan were in the same class at Greenside Primary. So anyway, Kiernan, I like Kiernan as a rapper. I like confident, almost arrogant personalities.
I really think he's doing well for the
industry. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So I dig like Jose Mourinho's, those Kanyes of the world, where you're like, yo, you can't tell... Can I swear on this show?
Go ahead,
You
then.
Can't tell me shit. Those are my favorite kind of people of like... It's borderline arrogance.
Okay.
Because... And also, when I always find... If you catch feelings when you see someone who's arrogant, it says something more about you than of the other person. Like, it shouldn't affect you. If someone's, like, cocky, you should be like, whatever. So, anyway...
You brought the truth this morning.
No, I'm just like because people like to catch feelings over things that doesn't concern them. Now you're worried about AK. AK is living his life. Don't worry about AK. So, but I mean, there's the whole DJ Zintler stuff. I don't want to get too into it. But I dig AK, Queen B.
They must go on with their bad selves.
They're having a good time, man. Yeah,
just go.
What can we do?
Yeah.
What can we do?
Just
we can't
vacations
be mad.
Vacations or whatever they call it.
There we have it.
Yeah.
In fact, go on your own vacation to Hammanskraal and tweet us your Instagrams and stop and leave other people alone. Why aren't you on a vacation at the Kimberley Hole looking at a damn thing full of water? Yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm done.
That's it?
I'm done.
Oh, that wasn't even that bad. I thought we were going to get like really real, talk about like Chechnya and
exactly.
shit.
I was like, okay, I'm glad he landed nobody in trouble. This was fantastic.
All right.
Mojack.
Yes.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. This was fun, man. This
was
real.
Very awesome.
Yeah, you know what happens often? We do interviews where people ask you like really weird shit. Just like silly questions.
Okay, so I got it.
So this is cool. Yeah, because normally you're like, oh, please end me now. Or where's the balcony? I'd like to jump out. This was lots of fun. Thank you very much.
Where can people get more information on you?
People can peep me on Instagram, mojackluhuku.com, on Twitter, mojackluhuku.com, on Facebook, mojackluhuku, M-O-J-A-K,
yes.
L-E-H-O-K-O. It's all the same on every network. I know people don't like complications. And also, this thing of putting weird names on Instagram.
Let's not.
Yeah, chocolate delicious 053 underscores. Come on, guys.
Well, my next guest is at Lufuno Love.
There we go.
I like that. Is that?
Oh, no, yeah. No, man. Lufuno Men, that is not your surname.
Okay, clearly some people have something to talk about after this.
That is not your surname, love. Yeah, Lufuno Khumalo. We want to know the real name.
This is Untapped Talent right on cliffcentral.com.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy.
We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.
This is Untapped Talent with myself, Siya Sangweni, and I'm just talking to cool people. And I've officially introduced her. You know, I've dubbed her. She's the cool one in the equation. Good morning, Miss Lufuno.
You give me way too much credit.
Too much credit for what?
I am not that cool.
Like, Lufuno loves. Like, what more do you want in the world?
I am not that cool.
Okay, how would you describe yourself then?
I'm trying to hold on to my cool. I'm real, man. I think that's like the best description of me. What you see is what you get.
Yes.
Like all the time, you know. I'm probably, not to blow my own horn, but I'm probably the most consistent person that you'll ever meet.
Yes.
If I don't like you, I don't like
you. Yes, girl.
And there's reason why I don't.
Ooh, I feel like I'm ready to just write a book with you right now. This is about to get very, very interesting.
And there's very few people that I don't like, just by the way. So, okay. Yeah.
I don't want to ask you about your opinion of me then, just
yet. I love you.
Oh, okay. I've made it to her rankings.
I love you. I'm a lover. So
your name means love, doesn't it?
My name means love. So I think my mom had the idea when she gave it to me. So I love, like, I'm a lover.
That's
and when
awesome.
I love you, I love you. And it's not because of anything. It's just love.
But if I'm on your bad side, I'll know.
Listen.
Very, very honestly.
Listen. They know.
Oh, they know.
They know,
the
yeah.
list out there. You know who you are.
You know who you are. I've had my mental funeral for you. You did.
Sure. Okay. Lufuno. But you're an awesome, awesome person.
Thank you, Sia.
You are just this. You're a stylist by profession.
Yes, I am.
But I just feel like you express yourself in any which way, and you do a damn good job at that.
Thank you so much. My ego.
I'm just glad I'm spot on the first round. When did this all start for you? When did your love for even clothing start?
My love for clothing started at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is my style icon. Like,
wow.
Like, I carry pictures of her dressed up everywhere I go because she was a fashion killer, straight up.
Yes.
If I can, like, I don't care if anybody doesn't like my outfit, but if my mom says you spot on,
yes.
I walk out of the house. I literally float.
Nobody can tell you nothing.
Nobody can tell me nothing. I don't care what you say. My mom approves because she is the bomb. And it's always been, growing up, just watching her get dressed and looking through her pictures and just realizing, wow, clothes can do so much for a woman.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do with it for the longest times, my love for clothes. I just became a shopaholic, which frustrated my mom a lot. And I just didn't know. And people would be like, be a stylist. And I was like, I don't have an idea what that is. I know how to dress myself, but I've never really tried dressing anybody else. And then I prayed.
Okay.
I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm tired of spending so much money on clothes.
I'm
not getting money back. And my mom is starting to hate me because she feels like, where's your life going? You have all these clothes and you've got nothing else.
Yes.
And it found me.
Yeah.
You know, I made friends with a photographer and I honestly started fashion blogging many years ago before it was a thing.
Yeah.
So my blog never really picked up because people didn't even have access to the internet then.
Yeah.
I'm a pioneer, they must know. You know, Jeff and I used to take pictures during lunchtime and he helped me set up a little micro blog and I'd post my looks there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people started saying that, hey, she's got style nyana, you know?
She's doing well.
Yeah, and he gave me my first styling gig. They had a photography studio and they took a chance on me. They're like, yo, come style this it's a group of DJs, and you know, and that's when it started. I didn't really take it seriously. It was a hobby thing.
Yeah.
I worked in corporate for like years.
Yeah, because you're a BCom marketing graduate.
Yes, I am.
Did you sit in the office going like, ish,
dude,
I could be on location somewhere?
Lucky for me, my first job was at a radio station, which was cool. Okay. So the environment was okay, but I was still doing research and I hate that stuff.
Mm.
And then I moved from there to do more research at Instant Cross, and it was qualitative and it was a really fun environment to work in. But
it's not where you
yeah,
thrive.
I was still feeling stifled. And then I went on to do more research at another company, and I stayed there for 6 months and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I literally left without a plan. I was like,
you were just like done.
I was cutful.
Yes,
like literally,
works
I was like,
for you, girl.
I was like, I couldn't. You know, when you've cried in your second week of working at a place, you
oh, wow.
know, it's like my spirit was not well in that space. So I was like, bye, guys. And they were like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'll figure it out, but I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had bills to pay, so
but you made it happen.
So and luckily I fell into the right hands, and for a year and a half I worked with Oskido mm-hmm. at his company, and he then was like, yo, come join me on my radio show, which I now do on Saturdays with him. And
awesome.
Yeah, but I got a lot of styling gigs in between.
No
that.
Exactly, look at you now, you're the head of wardrobe for V Entertainment on
yeah.
Vuzo and Vuzo Amp and Turn Up yes. on Channel O as well. Do you have to pinch yourself every now and then, or are you one of those people who like, no, like it was only a matter of time, like
The crazy thing about that is that it also found me, and it
How
was completely unexpected. A friend that works for the production company that produces V Entertainment is like, oh, we need a new stylist.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know stylists. I know stylists. So I sent him like a list. I put together a whole portfolio and I sent people through.
Yeah.
And he was like, put yourself on the list. And I'm
yes.
like, but all these people are qualified. They've been doing this for so long. It's like, it's worth a try.
Yeah.
And it was a completely blind situation. We all had to submit a presentation and just how we see the presenters and how we see ourselves dressing them for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the presenters had to pick their favorite presentation, not knowing who presented it.
Wow.
And that was me. And I was like, what the hell? So much pressure. But it's been an amazing, amazing, amazing journey.
I think that must be such a fun environment to be in, because it's, for example, V Entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, 5 days a week. It's
mm-hmm.
a live show on such a strong
yeah.
youth brand.
Yeah.
And you have these lively, feisty personalities.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, so let's put Denise in a tutu. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's and I think that's what I love about it, that I'm constantly challenged every day.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have different personalities,
mm-hmm.
and I have to match their wardrobe to those personalities. Lala is a lady, but she's got a little edge to her. So.
Well, and she has some, you know, great ass.
Exactly, so. You know, she's got amazing.
Shout out to
she's
Lala.
Got a great body. You know what I mean? So we always try to play up her strongest points and
mm-hmm.
bring out the sexy with her. Denise is like my wild card. Denise and I can go anywhere at any time. Like literally, I can bring three different kinds of outfits, and I
yeah.
never know which one she's going to choose. And that's what makes it so much fun, that she could be in anything. And
yes.
the beauty of a personality is that people respect that. You know, nobody really goes all judgmental on it, because anything can go with Denise.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest highlights has been dressing Scoop Macatini.
You, yeah, that guy. I'm just like, you're too cool.
Yeah, because he's a stylist or stylish person
yes.
in his, you know, and when I started working there, everybody's like, no, he doesn't let anybody dress him. He dresses himself.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I am going to see if
Let's
I can get in there.
That. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I remember the first episode I dressed him in skinny pants and a fitted sweater. And he was not sure.
Okay.
I was not sure if it was going to work out. He never wears tight clothes. And by end of the show,
mm-hmm.
the girls were all over Instagram going, who is the stylist? What happened? We don't see Scoop the same way anymore. Oh my God,
that
he is so bae.
The best.
That was like my greatest
ever.
Reward. And
yes.
he enjoyed the outfit himself. And yeah, and it just took us on a whole other journey now that we actually collaborate in his wardrobe.
Mm.
And he trusts me. And at times I'm just like, I'm just going to take this to him. And I pray that he wears it. And yeah, he does.
Well, listen,
and
you don't need me to say this, but I'm saying you're doing a damn good job.
Thank you so much.
What's next for you? What do you still want to do, you know?
Oh, gosh, I do a bit of commercials, mm-hmm. you know, and I did my first biggest commercial last year. And that was an amazing, amazing journey. Like, I literally traveled with a group of people all over South Africa.
Wow.
And met different personalities, and it was all their first time traveling, and it was my first time traveling to these places as well. And it was such a great experience, you know. Yeah. It was so rewarding. So I enjoyed doing commercials. I asked God for a movie this year.
Let's put it out there.
So it's out there, you yes. know. I'd love to work on a movie. I'd love to tap into the different facets that mm-hmm. doing wardrobe has to offer.
Because you've already done your music video as well for Kabelo Mabela.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Bogala.
Yeah, that was also flipping amazing, because the guys were like, the guys at Velocity Africa were just like, yo, come through, we don't even have budget. Like, we need to make this work.
Yeah.
And I sat down with him. And when I walked into the room, he was like, okay, I can trust you. And I was like,
wow.
He's like, well, a lot of stylists just look crazy. You look like you know what you're doing.
Yes.
The way you dressed says it's okay. And I was like, okay, great. And I was blind styling the video because it was in Mozambique. And I was not in budget to travel there. So I literally had to put looks together for models that I'd never really met. Like, I had pictures and sizes and the vision board and make it work.
Yes.
And I think it's one of the most beautiful videos I've ever seen.
Lufuno, what I love about you is you are so real, but also you back it up with such hard work. And I hope that's what people get from this. You're an awesome, awesome person.
Thank
people
you so
just
much.
Think, oh my gosh, I can be a stylist just because I can hashtag OOTD on Instagram. No, it ain't about the outfit of the day. Do some damn work.
It's work. It's work. Yes. It's honestly, and it's crazy how I bump into people and they ask me what I'm doing. And I'm like, I'm a stylist. And like full time. I'm like, yeah, that is my daily job.
Yeah.
And it's actually work. And I know I might make it look really cool and easy, but it's not really cool
especially
and easy.
Especially on the streets of the gram.
Yeah, you know, it's not that cool. It's not as glamorous as it looks.
Yeah.
But I think when you found your calling, it'll always be fun no matter what. So
speaking of which, where can we follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram. I've got two accounts on Instagram. I've got one that's extremely spiritual.
Okay.
That's my Lufuno Love account. It was supposed to start off as a fashion one, but God always takes over, and it's become Insta Church. It's actually what I'm most famous for, believe it or not. Like,
you go on with your bad
self. I bump into people in the streets and like, oh, you follow Lufuno Love. Oh my God, you bless me so much every day. And I'm just like, okay, this is a little freaky.
That's awesome, though.
And then, it's Lufuno Love on Twitter as well. And then I started a new Instagram account, and it's @_MissBrownStyling.
And that's MS Brown Styling.
Yeah, MS Brown Styling.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
now
so much.
Now I feel like, you know, it's Insta blessing, but you've now studio blessed me.
Hello.
You're amazing. Thank you for stopping by.
You're
thank
awesome.
You to
thank
Mojack
you so
for stopping
much.
By. And most especially, thank you for listening. We do this every single Friday from 9 till 10 a.m. right on cliffcentral.com. My name is Sia, and I'll see ya.
Talent on cliffcentral.com.